because you want to sing it. And I know you're dying for that day when we can once again sing "Worthy is the Lamb" instead of just sitting back and listening. Don't worry, that day is coming soon. That day is coming soon. Right now we have our brother Richard Greenwich, who's going to minister to us, and may the Lord open up your heart to hear what he has to say to you. Brother Greenwich.
Good morning. God, that's good. As I look out, I'm saying it almost looks like it used to look. It's filling up. It's filling up. And I think that's all in line with, I guess, my topic this morning, which is faith. We must exercise faith in our God. That's the only way the world is going to know us. By us exercising faith. And when I looked at Hebrews 11, which is called the Faith Hall of Fame, there are a lot of individuals there that we have seen their faith acting out in their life that convinced others to follow. I'm just going to talk about a few of them briefly and about us and our faith. To give it a title, I would say The Level of Faith. And if you're wondering if I'm going to take my mask off, no. All right? Because I want to save my brother Norman coming up here and spraying down after I'm done. Okay? So we can relax, especially today is their anniversary. But let's just look at the first couple of verses. And then we'll speak with the Lord and have him bless this morning. Hebrews 11, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Version. And it says, now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it, our ancestors, whom God's who won God's approval. And in the King James it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are truly grateful for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, O God, that for those of us who have accepted your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on Calvary and believed on his name, a measure of faith you have given us. And Lord, help us this morning, today, the rest of our lives, to exercise the faith that you have given us, that through our exercising of faith, we may draw men and women onto you. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters who have exercised faith and now are on their bed of sickness, or you are calling them home. That means they have fulfilled the faith walk, and you now are bringing them home. So, Lord, we ask that this morning, all that will be seen is you, and all that will be heard is you, and that everything else will fall away. Accept your word this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. When I look at the word faith, I looked it up in Webster, and it says it's a noun. And that's just interesting, because faith is a noun. It means it's a thing. And it says in Webster, allegiance to duty or person, fidelity to one's promises. Sincerity of intentions, belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And that's interesting because that is Webster's dictionary, Webster's explanation. But as we saw in scripture, they talk about something else. When I looked at the King James, one of the words that stood out was substance. Now, we all have heard of substance, sometimes in a negative way, because we talk about substance abuse and all this, but substance is something that you can handle, something you can touch. But it says it's the substance of things hoped for. So it's a hope. Can you touch hope? No. But yet it says it's a substance. It is the foundation of things that are hoped for. Here's the other word that's interesting, evidence. I know we have lawyers in our presence. When you go to court, both sides have to have evidence to prove their case. So it says what about it? It is the evidence of things not seen. And that is weird. It's evidence of things not seen. Contemplate that for a moment. Evidence of things not seen. It is funny because when you think about it, here in the Word of God, as we look in this Hall of Fame, a few names jumped out at me right away. Now, actually, you know, I was going in a different direction early on when our leadership, and I thank you for the opportunity, said, you know, we want you to share on this morning. And I said to my wife, and even to my son, I said, you know, I think I'm gonna talk about fathers. And of course, my wife, in her wisdom, said, but Father's Day is not to the end of the month. Okay, but it doesn't hurt. Whoever has it on that day can still deal with fathers. For some reason, in the middle of my preparing for fathers, I looked and it seemed like the fathers that came to my mind were men of faith. And that is amazing. The first person I thought of was Abram. And you look at that, there are many examples in his life of faith, amazing faith. Now, I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand, but at the age of 75, he was spoken to by God to say, leave your father's compound and head out. He settled. 75 years, even then, you got some roots planted. You deep. People in the neighborhood know you. Your children are playing with the other kids they know for out. And you gotta pick up yourself and move. And he did. And he did not know where he's going. Now, I'm not going to ask you this morning if you heard a voice say, pick up and move, whether you're going to do it. Because one thing you're going to figure out, I'm hearing voices, they're going to lock me up. But no, he went. And he went on. But that's interesting. But it comes to another point in his life. And of course, at this time, he and his wife have no children and they're up in age. But again, that same voice says, you're going to be the father of many nations. And I know in his heart, he must have chuckled. I'm almost 100 years old. And as far as giving birth, my wife ain't even thinking about that. But I'm going to be the father. I don't know. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. And lo and behold, he gets that son. His only child. Well, one of his only child. But that is the child of promise. That is the child of faith. That is the child in which everything else is supposed to come from. And what happens? That voice again. Sacrifice that child. Now, that is the epitome of faith, because if I'm told that through that child or through me is going to be many nations. And I'm now going to take and cut him up. How's that going to be? Well, I don't know. Again, he might work out something that I don't know about. But still, those are three powerful examples of faith, moving on faith. We need to look for that kind of faith in our life. That's important. But here's another one that comes to mind. And he wasn't in the realm of fathers, but he was in the realm of faith. And I think Enoch was powerful as far as faith is concerned. Because I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, what could Enoch have talked with God about and that God told him or said to him or encouraged him that wanted him to pursue God? And when I say pursue, the word that the scripture uses is walk. We're to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. And he was the first in all of creation that was not, that did not experience death. He was taken, it says. God took him. They were walking and they just walked. And that was it. But there had to be a faith that said to him, I'm forsaking all. Now imagine, 365 years he lived and then was not. You can't find his tombstone. From this day till, I don't know, he just stopped being there. That's interesting, but that's faith. He walked with God. Now that, wouldn't that be something that folks could say, well, he walked with God, she walked with God. Wouldn't that be something that they could say that about you? And I know some of you, all of us, at one point or another have had people say, oh, you must be a Christian because of this or because of that. But to walk with God in such a way that God said, we're going to continue this conversation, but, you know, it's not going to be here. I'm looking forward to that day when I can walk and talk with the Lord. It's coming. It's coming. We need to look at this pandemic as a foreseeing of God's return. The Lord's coming back. And he's taking his soldiers home now. One by one, sometimes in groups, but they're going. Are we walking by faith? You know, there was a minister. That was his tagline, as you might want to say. When he would quote that scripture all the time, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Do we? It's nice to say that, but do we? I know there's certain things we take for granted, quote unquote, by faith. Now, the old adage is, well, you didn't come in here and check the bench before you sat down, that's faith. That's man's faith. Here's one that you don't hear. Before you started your car, did you check it for a bomb? No. You believe, oh, I didn't offend anybody, so they're not gonna mess with my car. All right? Did you go to make sure your brake fluid was at the right level? No. Did you go and make sure that, well, this one I know you had to make sure on, was there gas in the tank, but, you know, otherwise you're not going anyplace. But there are things that we just take for granted, and don't take for granted meaning that that's faith. That's taking it for granted. You're assuming that these things are going to be. Faith means evidences of things not seen. Okay. We take by faith God's creation of this world by his word. And wise men do. And I say wise because the unwise are the ones who believe the fairy tales. Okay? And what is the fairy tale? Well, this all happened by accident. I have never seen an accident turn out great results. Have you? No, I've never, okay? Because usually, I know when we travel around and you look on the side of the road, what's left there is not a good result. It's waiting there to be carted away into the junkyard, okay? And that's at the best. So let's not assume that, oh yeah, we're living by faith. Let's act on faith. Let's live by faith. Now here's the thing. I looked at these gentlemen. You know these gentlemen very well. One was mentioned earlier in prayer. Daniel. Now, if you want to see faith in action, it's Daniel. Daniel, being a captive in a foreign land, selected by a group to have a specific diet to be presented to the king, to look and to talk in a certain manner. But Daniel says, excuse me, we're not having that. Please give us this. You figure, oh yeah, well, he's really acting on faith. Now, you know how deep his faith was? If he refused to have that meal, that food, death. You see, that's faith. When you are looking death in the face, and you're still holding your principle. That's faith. Well, you say, well, okay, he got away with that because when he was presented to the king, they were healthier and wiser than all those who did partake of the king's food. Okay, good. But here comes another test for him. Now, he moves up in rank. Because he is faithful to God and he trusts God, he moves up, he becomes a head man. And his colleagues dislike him. Listen, if we're living by faith, our colleagues may dislike us because we stand for the right, because we stand for God, because we're living by faith. So what do they do? And this always amazes me. They go to the king and they flatter him. And they say, hey, listen, king, you know, anybody who asks anything, you know, live forever or whatever. We all like to be flattered. You know, you come in and say, oh man, that's a beautiful dress you have on. That's a lovely hat that you have. And you're gonna beam and you wanna say, oh yes, I got it here and you know, and whatever. But here's Daniel. He was listening. They didn't include him. And the king was not astute enough to figure out, well, if all of us are agreeing on this, where is the one that should be there with you in this agreement about this law? He didn't ask them that. Because see, he was now puffed up by all these other guys. Daniel was listening. He said, hey, we want you to put this law into effect that will last for 30 days. You know any law goes into effect in 30 days? We have laws on our books right now that have been there for decades, centuries, if you please, and haven't even been looked at or enforced. But this law has to be there for 30 days. Because they figure Daniel, within 30 days, is gonna break down and pray. And he's gonna ask God for something. And that's going to be a violation of the law. Well, Daniel didn't wait 30 days. He didn't even wait 30 minutes. Daniel was right back upstairs. Lunchtime, he's right in his window praying. That's faith. Because you know the outcome is going to be death. He's facing death. What happens? They put him in the lion's den. This is the beautiful part of this event, but it's also a sad part. Because when the king was told it was Daniel, he couldn't eat. He didn't want music, he couldn't sleep, nothing. All night, he's up, pacing back and forth. Now, let's get this picture right. Daniel is a captive from another country. You are his master. And here he is, got you staying up night and missing dinner. What happened? First thing in the morning, he didn't ask for breakfast. He didn't check to see if the shower was ready. He ran to the pit. Daniel, did your God preserve you? Now, you know what that beautiful, you know what it must have been like when the king heard, "Fear not, my God preserve me." That's the beautiful part about it. The sad part about it is every one of those guys who organized this law, them plus their families were all put in that same pit, but did not have the same result. Now, along with Daniel, there were three other young men. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'm not calling by that slave name. All right, that's gone. The king says to them, to the nation, "You all are gonna worship this idol that I have built." He says, they say, "King," and I like their mannerism, they weren't disrespectful. They said, "King, we are not qualified, as it were, to answer you in this matter. However, we will serve our God, and we will not bow to this idol." "Okay, well, I'm going to heat this furnace up, and I'm going to throw you in." Now, that's faith in the face of death. I mean, when I say death, it's not just death by hanging or shooting or arrows or whatever. You are going to be crispy critter barbecue in front of the whole nation. That's a terrifying, agonizing, horrible death. But my faith is stronger than that threat of death. And I believe that my God, whether he'll take me out, as was mentioned earlier, whether he'll take me out of this situation right now or be with me in the situation that I'm in. And when you read to say that they were standing there walking about as if it was just another day, but you know what? In the midst with them was God. He came to them because of their faith. And behold, the king is amazed. He's looking at them. He says, "But I know I saw three guys we put in there. But I see the fourth. I see a fourth one." And he's like, "The Son of God." They lived by faith. They walked by faith. Their faith delivered them from the situation. What is your level of faith? Are you able to say, "No matter what, I'm walking with the Lord. No matter what, my faith is with him"? You know this gentleman well as well, David. Now, there are many stories about David, and they start way back before he was king, before he was even thought about. After his anointing, he goes to visit his brothers on the battlefield. and they're all up in the mountain hiding. The king is hiding and walking back and forth. What am I going to do? This giant is threatening us. He says, send the guy, send the guy, send the guy. I'm able to take him on. And they're all cowering. No matter how big they talk about, there are a lot of them who are valiant men, but they're all hiding in the mountains. What does David say to them? He says, why is this uncircumcised Philistine talking so about the army of God? Now, we got to look at this. Because one of the things that David did is it said that on his way down, he stopped and picked up 5 stones. Now, the theory is he picked up 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. So each one of the stones, one was for Goliath and then one's for the other brothers. Also, if you look at the 5 stones, it's faith. He put faith in his pocket as he was heading down to that battlefield. And I want you to understand something. He was not going in David's strength. He was going in God's strength. Because he said, in the name of God do I come to you. Okay? And I encourage you to reread that story. Because I did it the other day after reading it several times before. And there's something interesting in there. And I'm not going to tell you, you'll discover it for yourself when you reread it. But it's really interesting. Because when David goes down there and he takes that stone, down comes the giant. Now, David had no sword. He had no shield except the shield of God. And he went to meet Goliath. Even Goliath said, wait a minute. You send this boy to me with a piece of leather and a stone? I am a warrior. He must have been pounding his chest. I'm a warrior. Look, they said his spear was the size of a weaver's beam. Now, you know, that's a big piece of wood. And the weight of the head was almost 50 pounds. And he had a shield that was probably bigger than David. But here he comes. What? By faith. By faith. Well, we know the story. The giant was slain with all his bragging, with all his boasting, with everything that he was talking about. He's no more. Because why? David walked by faith. Faith is a foundational necessity in the Christian's life. If you are not living and walking by faith, you are a pretender. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And there are things that you're going through that without him, without faith in him, you are not going to succeed. We all go through down times. But you have to remember, when you go through those down times, you're not alone. You're not alone. He is right there by you. Can you imagine the joy when Ananias and Mishael and Azariah saw the Lord with them? They weren't worried about the flames anymore. They weren't worried about the king anymore. They didn't care about that stuff. But yet still, when the king told them to come out, the 3 of them came out, and there was not even the smell of smoke. And you know, like they say, yeah, you can smell the smoke of battle on them. Listen, they had a victory that had no smoke on it, but was recognized by those who were against it. Our victories do not necessarily have to bring sadness with us. It can bring joy. Because that is what our Lord is for. The ultimate reality It underlines all outward manifestations of matter of a particular definite chemical change, because faith has got to change you. You cannot be the same person once you come to meet the Lord. There's got to be a change. When you meet the Lord, it's a meeting that requires faith in what he has said. His word is more important, more powerful, more real than anything else you can hear or see. And even for those who come by and sit around and wonder, well, you know, I don't know about all this. I don't have that much faith. I thought about this. In Matthew 17 and verse 20, it says this, and this is Jesus is speaking. I'm going to read the exact statement to you from here. And it's interesting because I saw it in another portion of scripture, but this is the one that I really wanted to share with you about faith. And he says, verse 20, he says, because of your little faith, he told them, for truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, mustard seed. Most of you have never seen a mustard seed. I have not seen a mustard seed. However, I did Google a mustard seed. And if you take the time to Google mustard seed, you will see it. And what I found out after looking at it, there are different types of mustard seed. Okay, so, all right. But a mustard seed can, well, at the tip of your finger, it's like a little speck. Faith, that little speck. If you have faith the size of that little speck, you can move mountains. You can move kingdoms. You can change worlds. You can take people out of the depths of hell and bring them to the glory of heaven by faith, the size of a mustard seed. Most of us always say, well, you know, I asked the Lord for more faith. You know what that reminded me of? Walking into the gym, going up to folks there, you say, I want more muscles and bigger muscles. Let me ask you this. When you walked in there, did you have muscles? You had to, otherwise you couldn't have walked in there. You couldn't have even opened the door. But what's the difference? If you want bigger muscles, stronger muscles, you gotta exercise. You gotta exercise. You want more faith? Exercise the faith you have right now. And you'll watch and see how it grows and gets more stronger and more powerful. That's how you get more faith. That's how you live by faith. Because you have to walk in it every single day. You have to push it out there. Look for the evidences of that faith. Look for the substance of that faith. Don't be one of those who say, oh, I could use some more faith. It'll never happen as long as you keep going, well, I wish. This is not a fairy tale where you rub a magic lamp and poof, you get three wishes. This is, you gotta walk it out. You gotta work it out. You gotta live it, feel it, breathe it. And then you'll have big faith. You'll have faith that got muscles with muscles with muscles. That's faith. Now, I know there are some sitting here and they're going like, what is this guy talking about? I don't know. I don't have that kind of faith. Listen, everyone in this room has an opportunity to have that faith. If you have accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you got a measure of faith. What you do with it now is in your hands to prove him. Because that's what the Lord is there for. He says, prove me and I'll show you. There are those who are sitting in this audience right now who their faith, who they put in the Lord, has proved them. I don't want to stop calling names because they're here and you know some of them. Surgeries that you know, they may never have come out of. Illnesses that would never have retreated. But faith, faith in God alone can bring you out. Faith in God. So if you don't know him this morning, today, right now, this instant, you need to come up and say, I want him in my life. I want to have a faith of a dead that I can stand up to the king and say, I'm not eating that food. Or David and say, there's no giant too big for me. Or Hananiah, Azariah and say, hey, there's no fire that can burn me. Because my God protects me. I have faith in him. And to be like one, I know it's going to take something. But to be able to walk with God and not, he took me. Can you imagine? That still is on my head. Every time, for years, I've heard about this. But then when you read it and you see he walked, listen, he was 365 years. All right? If you really want to figure out, that's like a year for every day. But yet still, he was walking with brothers and sisters, friends, don't leave here today without finding out where your level of faith is and putting it to work. Because without faith, you're going to be struggling here. You are going to struggle. And listen, why struggle alone when you can have the Lord with you? And he can open those doors. So as I close, I just want to again say, God sent his only beloved son, his precious son, the one who was with him in the beginning when he spoke this world, this universe into existence. And he sent him here. Why? Because he wanted us to have fellowship with him once again. Since the first man broke it, that relationship, again, I always, and I continue to say, you know, what must it have been like to have God himself come down in the cool of the day and discuss things with you? Can you imagine that? Come on, imagine that. And then you kind of like let somebody deceive you out of that blessing. Well, all I know is we will have that relationship once again if you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's the only way you're going to have that kind of conversation, to be able to walk and talk with Almighty God in his heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, as you are helping man to combat this disease, which you have allowed to come. Help us that we may have learned something from it being here, and that we may take up the mantle of faith and walk with you, that we may put on strong faith, that we may be able to point others to you, because our walk with you is visible. So we thank you this morning, and we ask that you will continue to bless each and every one here, and especially those who do not know you. Let them come to know you. Let them feel your presence, oh God. This we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Oh, one thing, graduation.